And lastly, just got the invite yesterday. I'll be joining the mayor of Columbia, South Carolina, Daniel Rickenman, next Monday in Washington, D.C., and some U.S. Conference of Mayors folks meeting with Alex Meyer, the head of U.S. governmental affairs at the White House. So that meeting will be Monday at 3 o'clock.
D.C.'s going to D.C. to meet with the White House. Oh, kind of interesting. He is on the line with us now, Mayor D.C. Reeves, City of Pensacola Mayor. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Did you go to the West Wing, to the White House, the building?
Yeah, it was the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. It's where it's the offices of where all the folks are working in the West Wing. State Department folks.
Okay.
And we met with the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs. I guess if I wanted to make a run for it, I was inside the fence line.
It
that way.
All right. And you talked about helping them understand the concerns you guys have. And was it Mayor of Columbia? Is that who you went with, right? And then, you know, thinking about grants and funding.
Yeah, Mayor of Riverside, Mayor of Yeah, exactly. And it's just about trying to streamline the process. If you sat in our U.S. mayor's meetings, we have lots of conversations on really two big overarching things. One is preemption and especially unfunded preemption. And then another one is on, hey, we're the boots on the ground for all these federal grant programs that you always hear about. And mm-hmm. then you hear on the news that they only gave out a certain amount of money. We advocate all the time for more direct pay to states and localities, the ones that are out doing the work, and sometimes things get lost in translation. We come up with all these codes and all these rules and all this to protect the taxpayer dollar. And you know what we do? We don't spend the taxpayer dollar. And then these projects cost more money because they take too long to get out. And so, we were just trying to advocate for these things and say, hey, let us be at the table. And before you come up with a million rules so we can never spend the money, why don't you talk to the people who are the ones out implementing the spend? And very good conversation. I think we've got some alignment there, and we expect to be even further involved in the future to try to eliminate some of this red tape and help some of these public-private partnerships move forward.
Yeah, I think it was an interest. I think you were the one who made the point about, one municipality that was building houses could do it at cost for $155,000, but once they got federal money involved and all of the check boxes and the verifications and the procedural elements, it was over $300,000 to build the same exact house, which is not a good stewardship of federal money of any kind. So, I think that's great that they were listening to you, and hopefully they got a receptive ear. One of the other things, obviously the big announcement yesterday was the recycling plan is coming back. I think that probably you haven't done yourself a great PR service because it was a kindness to hold down the monthly rate, even though it should have gone up. But now people are going to feel like, oh, it's costing so much to add recycling that you're going to get dinged for having been nice for a year,
Right. Well, and trust me, we take bullets from all sides on all different sorts of issues, we certainly had a very overt conversation about that, but it's the right thing to do. I don't like not doing what I say I'm going to do or trying to increase a cost on someone.
Mm-hmm.
So we took that exact issue head on, and we knew that. We're going to get some criticism that says, oh, well, you only lowered the price $2 or $3, when in fact, not only did we lower it $5 or $6, go add up how many months we didn't charge you what we could have already we're already authorized to do before my administration. I didn't put these increases in. These were put in before I even got here. So I could have easily done that and blamed it on the previous administration or something like that. But it just, to me, the right thing to do was, let me bring to you back recycling like I promised I would, and then we'll incur those costs. So, that was a several hundred, multiple hundred thousand dollar, investment by us that you're right, we aren't going to get much credit for. But there's some things that I have to do in this job that are the right thing to do and that are good for the citizens that, we don't get to hang a banner about. So it just is what it is. On good conscience that we did the right thing to say we're going to pause these cost increases until we got it all figured out.
All right, so let's just run the numbers real quick for people who have not been following this. And I'm going to put this up on Facebook because it'll be a lot easier to see than to do on the radio. But current charge is $27.50. I'm rounding. Current charge is $27.50 a month.
Yep.
What it should be is $31.50 a month. So it should be $4 higher, but you have kept it down in the interest of, you know, all the things you just said. The charge, if you do not have recycling, will start July 14th, if the city council approves, will be $25 a month. And then it'll go up gradually about a buck a year every year thereafter because costs are increasing. If you do recycling, again, it's at there's no recycling now, $27.50 a month. It should be $31.50 a month. That will be $33 a month when it goes into effect in July. And then it will go up to $35 and then to $35.50 thereafter. So that's what we're looking at. But so the money, that's where the money's at. But I want you to just kind of talk to the person who's angry. Because I have talked to some people who are angry. They are angry at DC. DC has prevented me from doing recycling. I want to do recycling. I'm sick of all this nonsense. You know, we pay for premium service here in the city of Pensacola, and we haven't had recycling all this time. Yep. People who are frustrated and angry, and you want to, I want to give you a chance to address them because they're your constituents.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing I'd say is here's the great news. If your anger and frustration is around recycling, when I got into this office, we weren't recycling, and now we are. So let's start with the win that we do have, which is we are actually put in a position to functionally recycle, which you can't take the assumption that you were recycling before, because we all know the data that I've told, I've said on this show many times, more than 50% contamination, even recyclables going into the landfill for lack of market. So so that's the great news. And secondly, you're right. We should expect a high quality of service, which means we're going to track how well our contamination works. And again, I feel like we were keeping people's bills down when we weren't doing what we said we were going to do. This is very evidence-based and data-based. The reason we, I've gotten the question about why not keep twice a week. Well, we asked our two different times at two different in two different years, we asked our constituents what kind of service they want. The latest poll was about 86% of people were either going to want just garbage once a week for a lower price, or they were going to want once a week garbage, once a week recycling. There isn't a large market for folks that want two cans a week. But what I would say is you've got to trust the idea that we're trying to modernize not only contamination, but even how we price things. When I got here, a second black garbage can, anybody could get a second black garbage can if they wanted. You paid another $27 a month, which, of course, anybody in business knows that makes zero sense.
Right.
And we knew that from the first second. So now, if you do have a big family with four or five kids, it'll still be one pickup day a week, but you can get a second can, and it's going to be something like $5 a month, which is much more functional. We're already coming to your house to get the garbage. It doesn't cost us that much more to pick up the second can. So I think what we're coming back with is a significantly more efficient, modernized solution for what our constituents want, because we asked what they wanted. And it's always my job. Andrew, you hear me say all the time, whether it's red light cameras, whether it's parking, whether it's anything else that has its detractors, my job is to not have enough ego and to be nimble enough for us to see how things are going and not dig in our heels on principle, but to do what I think is right at the right time. And I think we are right now, and we'll obviously continue to monitor it and make sure it's working the way we want it to.
And to me, something that we haven't talked about yet today, but we've talked about many times in the past, is if people are opting into recycling and paying for recycling, you're much more likely to get good behavior in the act of recycling. And that means that you won't have to pay the extra
Correct.
Charge of going to the landfill with contaminated loads. Also, you're going to have funding coming in from outside sources, particularly corporations that are checkboxing their green energy or their green contributions, because folks like Coca-Cola have created a fund where they can educate people about what to recycle and what not to recycle, which will, again, all work to the good for making this program stay at the lower cost that it can be and also be more effective long term. So, I mean, good. I think people should be excited about this. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about something you mentioned yesterday. I thought it was one of the most candid things you've ever said. You said that, look, we have a lot of parks in Pensacola. We do not have enough funding to maintain all of our parks at the expected level of service. We need to find alternate funding. We have gone to grants. We are looking to find other solutions, and one of your proposed solutions is maybe a Pensacola Parks Foundation, the same way the you know, the police and the sheriffs and the school districts have a foundation for charitable fundraising because parks are expensive and people get excited when we ribbon cut for a new park and when we put in a new facility and we put in a new dog park or a play structure. And then nobody asks the question of maintenance and replacement. And those things ultimately cost so much money that we just can't do it all in the 90 plus parks that we maintain. Right.
Exactly. And listen, when it comes to the unfun nature of maintenance over newness, you know, I think I'm patient zero, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at my 2.5 years of having to knock down gyms because they had fallen in disrepair because no one maintained them or funded the maintenance. And, you know, we're spending $21.7 million, some on that's on all rehab and maintenance from Fricker Center. That 21.7 doesn't count $40 million at Hollis T. Williams and some of these new things. That's just going and maintaining the stuff that we have. And a lot of that is grant funding, to your point. And you know what? We've got a lot of charitable, caring citizens who care about their park, not just because they use the playground, but it's across the street from their house or they grew up playing there and all that. And we have these small examples where people have called us just being good citizens and saying, hey, is there something we can do? Can we replace that bench? I mentioned in the press conference yesterday, there's a group that has been for years contributing financially for flowers and on Palafox Street and things like that, just because, not because they have to, because they just care about it. And so, you know, while we try to get inventive and I know, and here we are talking about putting our largest revenue stream on the chopping block, which is property tax, you know, we forget what that funds, including your police. And then on the same vein, I get asked, well, what are we going to do about our sidewalks? What are we going to do about our parks? Well, great question. Great question. You know, we need to have some revenue stream of which to take care of them. And we'll never, Andrew, as you know, have enough revenue stream to take care of 94 parks and 11 community centers independently through the general fund.
Right.
Or that's just not going to happen. So if grants aren't going to be the same they used to be, and we work the ebbs and flows of government and government funding, we got to get resourceful and we got to figure out the best way we can try to come up with solutions. And so, you know, I've always liked that idea. I don't know that when that would happen. I don't know that I'm not saying we're going to do that tomorrow, but to give an easier avenue and a more streamlined avenue for folks who care about their parks and want to earmark their money toward this park or this, you know, certain initiative, that I think would be a great thing. And I think there'd be some interest out there.
Okay. So I have a crazy idea. It's just the kind of thing a philosopher would think of. It's probably not practical, but here goes. Okay. Would there be any way to make the property tax payments that people give to the city, I don't know, take 10% of people's assigned property tax and let them checkbox one of, say, 5 or 6 different earmarks for that money? It would let people feel like I gave to the police or I gave to the roads or I gave to the parks. It's still obligatory money to spend, but it lets them feel like they're a little bit more in control of the spend of it. And maybe you could also have a, would you be interested in contributing any extra to the police or to the parks or to the road? You know what I mean? Like it seems like it would probably be complicated. It might not be legal, but it seems like it would offer the chance for people to get a little bit of buy-in and a little bit of control and a little bit of pride that they're not just forced to pay this money that's going to get used, but they're giving money to the thing they really care about the most. Does that make sense?
Well, listen, conceptually, I like the idea, and that's how I think too, right? Make sure we're spending it where people want it.
Right.
Number one, who's to say that it's already not broken down that way, right? You know, mainly public safety, things like that. So you'd want to try to cross-analyze that. The only other hurdle you'd have to worry about in that scenario would be, well, what if you don't jack of all, master of none? What if all the boxes get checked where there's not enough sufficient funding to do what you're promising in those boxes? So, you know, you would have to kind of analyze that. But you know, I won't do my entire property tax diatribe, but, you know, polling 101 is when you poll the citizens and say, would you like free money or not free money?
Right.
You know, shockingly, everybody's voting to say, well, I would like to have free money. So would I. That's how I would vote it. But when we say we might have to, you know, we would have to cut 30% of our public safety, 35% of our public safety, and now it takes us 40 minutes to get to your house instead of 3 minutes to get to your house in an emergency.
Right.
Would that change your vote? You know, and I think that's rhetorical, and I know that those numbers are exact, but that's, you know, I would think that the cities right now are losing this messaging battle a little bit about what the value of the property tax is when we talk about cutting taxes, because we would all vote for paying less taxes.
And I would too. And it might moot out by what the governor and the legislature are trying to do too. It seemed to me like an opportunity to maybe give a little bit of power and ownership and pride for people, because otherwise they just feel like it's money gone as opposed to service acquired, you know. And it just, you know, the weird ideas that policy philosophers come up with. So forgive me for indulging.
I love the concept.
We always like to end with a lightning round, which is just a couple of quick questions for you, Mr. Mayor. First one for you is, do you prefer to have your checks direct deposit, or do you like to write physical checks? The government is going to get rid of physical checks coming in September.
Well, when I get a paper check, it sits on my kitchen counter for like 3 months before I put it in. So, I've got to go by the way I act, not with what I say.
Okay.
I would normally say I don't mind paper checks, but my activity is much, much slower on the paper form.
Practice is what it is. Okay. Do you leave online reviews or comments of businesses and products and sellers, both good and bad, just good, just bad? What's your practice?
I should do it more. I generally will only do it as good, not only as a mayor that, you know, tends to take public criticism a lot and hear more negative than positive. But remember, I was a business owner before this. I respect so much, you know, bars or restaurants or wherever you go, that even if I have a bad experience, the chances that I'm going to I would reach out to the managers, I would do, or the owner, you know, and send them an email if it was about solving the problem. I've just been around this game in my last two jobs so often that there's lots of misperceptions that get put out there. And so I just have the respect of who that business owner or whatever, that if I really have a problem, I'll reach out directly to them.
Very good. And the same. I'm exactly the same. And last one, do you have a favorite building in Pensacola or in the vicinity?
And I haven't thought of that. We always do.
Please don't say the Bay Center
tour. We always point. No, no, trust me. That's on the bottom of the list. I always point out the tower, or the Seville Tower,
Seville Tower,
tallest building in Florida until like the 50s or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Not for its ornate.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sure Collier likes the nod. So that's fine. It's a cool one. It's one of the buildings downtown I like. Mr. Mayor, have a good meeting next Thursday. We'll talk to you next Wednesday beforehand. As always, thank you for the time and the input, man. I really appreciate it.